Luke chapter 10, what is Christianity about? What is the most important thing in Christianity? Okay. What did you say? Okay, spreading the word, being Christ-like. As Sister Mary Ann said, Jesus himself. And I know you always hate when I ask questions because you go, uh-oh. And those are good, positive things that we talk about. Jesus is the center. And if we ever get away from Jesus, from a personal relationship, then we're missing it. Remember, as he addressed the church in the book of Revelation, he said, you have left your first love. And we grow cold. I don't know if you've ever had a relationship, whether it's a, hopefully not a marriage, but maybe a marriage or a friendship, and you just grow cold and you grow distant. And, you know, there used to be the times where you knew what they were thinking, right? And then you reach a point where you can no longer read each other's minds. That's the kind of relationship we need to have with Jesus, that we know what he's thinking. And how do we get there? Through our study, through our devotion, prayer time, meditation, worship, all the personal time, intimate time we spend with God to know the heart and mind of Christ. You know, and we may say, well, what about charity and giving? That's good to give to others and to spread the word and to share the gospel. Those are good things to pattern our lives after Christ in service. But we can never forget that the most important factor is Jesus himself. And, you know, it helps to have a good church, good brothers and sisters in the church. It helps to have the Bible and actually read the Bible and have Bible teaching. But we can't put anything ahead of our relationship with Jesus. So Christianity is about relationships, primarily our relationship with him, right? With Jesus. So the other relationships, you know, you think about the Ten Commandments. What is that about? Well, it's about our relationship with him, but it also has to do with our relationship with others. In fact, Jesus said the greatest commandment is what? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, with all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. So it's not just about Jesus. Primarily it's about Jesus, but it's also about others. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38, it's only five verses, but don't get your hopes up. All right? It says in verse 38, it came to pass as they went that Jesus, he entered into a certain village, that village being Bethany, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Now, stop there. Okay, hold on. If you're familiar with the story with Martha, then you understand the relationship that Mary and Martha are sisters to Lazarus, that the three of them lived together in this home, and that Jesus loved to go there. He loved to fellowship with them. And on this occasion, even in this text, Lazarus is not specifically mentioned, but we'll insert him into the story. But Martha, it says Martha received him into her house. So we know who's taking care of things in that house, right? And we get the impression then that she's hospitable, that she is a person of hospitality. I don't know about you, I like people. Do you like people? Most of the time, right? Unless they're going too slow in the fast lane, right? But we like people, love having friends, love laughing and telling stories and hearing stories and just enjoying company. But we see that Martha was ready to open her home to guests. I don't know how you are with your home, but that's a big deal. It's a big deal to invite people into your house. And Jesus never traveled unless he was just stealing away for some quiet time with the Father. He never traveled alone, did he? Had the 12 apostles with him. And we just, in this same chapter, we see that he sent out 70. They returned. So there's no telling exactly how large this entourage was. Could have just been Peter, James, and John. Could have just been a few of them. But it says, look, as they went, he entered into a certain village. And so it's possible that it's just Jesus. Possible. Not likely. So He enters into this house. She's ready to open her home. She's ready to work, right, to do the work to serve her family and friends. Now, how many of you, maybe not anymore in your retirement and you're enjoying that, but how many of you ever prepared a big Thanksgiving meal, right? How many of you remember Sunday dinner, right? Sunday dinner used to be a big deal, right? The whole family would come over. I remember going to my grandparents' house, and my grandfather didn't go to church, and it's not the reason he stayed home from church, but when we got home from church, supper was almost ready, dinner, lunch, because he spent that whole time preparing. And it was a big family, everybody to come over. And we'd have a big day and enjoy a big meal. And, you know, I never remember having to go away hungry, for sure. So that means there's a lot of preparation. There's a lot of food. Well, Mary's not making peanut butter and jelly, right? She's making a spread. It's going to be a lot of food. It's going to be extravagant. It's going to be impressive. I mean, this is Jesus. And Jesus comes over, you don't give him a bologna sandwich. No, you give him the best. And you just pull out all the stops and you do the best. You work hard and you make it great. And that's what she was doing. She had a servant's heart. I want us to remember that. All the other people would enjoy the benefits of her labor. But somebody had to do it. You know, think about that in our lives. There are things that we enjoy that we don't contribute to. We're not part of it. But we enjoy it. We appreciate it. I don't know about you. I listen to Christian radio. And every once, you know, maybe once or twice a year, they say, give to the radio station. Right? And what do they say? Well, you listen to it. You should contribute to it. And so somebody's contributing. Somebody's putting it on there. And so we enjoy it. And then there's, you know, it's up to each one of us whether we're going to contribute to it, be part of the work, part of what makes it work. I bet Martha was the type. If I walked into her house, I couldn't see any dust, no pillows on the couch out of place. And she would say, excuse my house, right? Excuse the mess. But let me tell you something. If you come to my house and I say, excuse the mess, you'll know why I said that, right? Right? I mean, do the best we can, but with all those kids, it's never tidy, right? So Martha surely kept an orderly and tidy home. Very, very much she was what we would call OCD, right? Everything has a place and everything in its place. I just believe that from what I read. Verse 39. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Martha's in there chopping, slicing and dicing, prepping, cooking, mixing. Mary's sitting there listening. Mary didn't care if the house was messy, did she? Mary come in and just enjoy the house. It's her personality. House is to be lived in, right? You say, house is to be lived in. Some of y'all might have that sign on your door. It says, if you don't like dog hair on the couch, then go sit on your own. My dogs live here. Right? So Mary was just a type that was home and you live there and you enjoy it. But mainly, what? You enjoy the people. Mary understood relationships. She loved people. She wanted to engage people. Martha loved those people. The way Martha served those people, the way Martha loved those people was to cook and to clean and to serve. The way Mary loved those people was to sit there and listen to what they had to say. You know, that's showing love, isn't it? You ever been around somebody telling them a story and you could tell they're not listening to you? Does that show you love? If I'm telling a story, if you don't listen, I'll just quit telling it. Sometimes I'm preaching and feel like quitting. I mean, if you're not going to listen, why do I talk? No, but she was more interested in the people and the relationships. Mostly, Mary was interested in Jesus. Man, imagine this. Martha says, the Lord is coming to the house. I better get everything ready. And Mary says, I can't wait till the Lord gets here. I'm going to spend time with the Lord. Wow. Two different people. Two honorable choices. Two people loving their way. That's how they love. So let's not take anything away from them. We don't all show the same expressions of love. But Mary was interested in Jesus, and she was sitting at his feet. And it's significant the way we say this. And I always go back to Ruth when Naomi told her, when you go in the evening after Boaz lays down, you lay yourself at his feet. It's submission. It's surrender. We remember on another occasion as Jesus sat in the home and he was eating, and the woman of ill repute, the woman of sin, that sinful woman, came and wiped his feet with her tears. Where did she go? His feet. Where did she put her head? At his feet. That submission, that surrender, that showing relationship. Mary was at his feet. But more than that, she heard his word. What was he talking about? Again, I said Lazarus is not mentioned here, but let's say Lazarus was there. Maybe Jesus just telling Lazarus all about what they've been. Man, you know, getting baptized, John the Baptist, and the crowds, and the wilderness, the temptation, and then the gathering of the apostles. And how did you choose them? And what did you recognize in them? And just talking about, you know, all the different ones and their uniqueness, and the 70. Oh, I sent the 70 out 2 by 2. And they came back. Oh, they were so excited. And it's right here. They said, oh, we've cast out devils and we've done so much. And Jesus said, oh, be excited that your name's written in heaven. That's what this is about. That's what it's about. So maybe he's telling all these stories, talking about it to Lazarus. Maybe, you know, the fantastic reports of lives changed. Feeding of 5,000. Did you really feed 5,000 men? That was 5,000 men. There was women and children there too. And did you really just have a few loaves and fishes? That's all we had. Didn't have anything else. Wow. And did you really take up 12 baskets full? Yeah, sure did. Man, it's incredible. Jesus is telling this and they're listening. They're so intrigued by it. We don't know exactly what it was. Maybe when he stilled the storm, right? The winds and the waves, and he said, peace, be still. Sea was like glass. Wow. They're just sitting, Mary's just sitting there eating that up. Man, just amazed, just in awe of Jesus. Jesus, are you just going to let her sit there while I work? Here comes Martha. Here comes Martha. Boy, she's mad. She's irritated. She's agitated. Verse 40, Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. She was, would you say she was upset? She was overwhelmed. How many of you have been overwhelmed? I've had people tell me about their jobs and how there were people in the break room playing cards and taking naps and reading the paper while they're out there working. Does that irritate you a little bit too? All right, you're working. Everybody's sitting around and I'm doing all the work. That's Martha's sense. That's her argument. She's mad. Don't you care? But see, we can get so burdened with the work that we forget the reason for the visit. We can get so wrapped up in the Thanksgiving meal that we don't appreciate and enjoy the family. And the same with Christmas and Easter and Mother's Day and Father's Day. Y'all have hot dogs, but anytime, you know. We get so overwhelmed with the work and being hospitable and hosting that we overlooked the reason that those people came to our house. Martha could have just made falafels, right? Sandwiches. She didn't have to have a big spread. But she wanted it to be impressive. She wanted it to be grand. I can appreciate that. But it's not about that. Jesus is not a food critic. He wasn't there to rate her hospitality. He loves Martha as much as he loves Mary and Lazarus. But she overlooked that. She was so busy working that she overlooked Jesus himself. The reason for the work was obscured. It was hidden to her. To the extent that she got agitated with the ones who didn't forget why he was there. Relationships. Again, Ten Commandments. Right, Adam and Eve. What was the problem? What was the problem? The problem was Eve did not value the relationship that she had with the Father, and she took a stranger's voice and a stranger's advice over the Father. Right? Her husband knew what the rules were. She knew what the rules were. They got it from the Lord. But instead of trusting the one that she had a relationship with, she trusted the voice, a strange voice, of a serpent in a tree. And it cost her everything. Guys, it's our relationship. It's the people around us. And we need to make sure we surround ourselves with the right people. Have the right people in our lives. And don't get so busy with the doing that we forget the people. She even complained to Jesus. I need help in here. And Jesus, right? Jesus didn't say, well, what can I do? Let me get up and help you. I think that's what a lot of us might do, right? Let us help you. Try to solve her anxiety, her agitation. No, he said, Martha, Martha, whenever he calls your name twice, you know he's trying to lay it in. Verse 41, thou art careful and troubled about many things. You got so much on your mind. You're so worried. You're so overwhelmed. You're so weighed down. So concerned to meet every expectation. Right? Is there anything that you need out of the kitchen? Anything that's not on the table that you want? Is there anything you want? I need to go get something else for you to drink. If you don't like what I have, I'll go get something else. Y'all ever trying to satisfy every need? That's how Martha was. Lovely. Wonderful. That's how she shows her love. But she was missing Jesus. She was so busy running in circles that she didn't get to hear what he was talking about. And now she wants Mary to not hear what he's talking about and come help. And Jesus says, Mary, verse 42, one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part. It shall not be taken away. I'm not going to. She got it right. You think Jesus cared if they ate? Think Jesus cared if it was an elaborate meal or a sandwich or salad? No. He was there for the relationship. Mary chose that. Mary chose the relationship. She chose to listen to Jesus, to be in his presence. And Jesus says, I'm not taking that away from her. You're the one who's making those choices. You know, we might want to look at our relationships. Because sometimes we're so busy trying to meet every expectation that we miss just being there. Just sharing and loving. And you know, I've often said I could tell when someone is uncomfortable, especially if it's another man. If we have to get in the car and go for a ride anywhere and they can't stop talking because they're not comfortable with silence. They're not, and you know, and every once in a while, and it's one thing if we have something to talk about, but so many times we're just talking to be talking instead of just being together. Just go for a ride. Just be friends. You don't have to be talking. Especially if we're fishing. I know Your dad probably told you like my dad told me, stop talking so the fish will bite. Has nothing to do with the fish biting. He just didn't want me talking all the time. I enjoy good conversation. I enjoy friendship. And I'm not taking the conversation completely out. But I'm just saying it's okay for you to be around me and not say anything. And I hope it's okay for me to be around you and not say anything. Mary chose the relationship. And Jesus said, I'm not taking that away from her because of the choices you made. We got to be careful about blaming other people or penalizing other people for the choices we make. Let's stand. Father, we do love you so much. And as we look at the relationship that you have with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and it's a good reminder to us that sometimes we can get so busy doing the work that we forget our business. We forget our main focus should be people and relationships and just, you know, loving each other and being a family. Hearing what they have to say and not busy doing all the time, trying to meet every expectation, but showing genuine friendship and love. God, we pray that you'll draw us to you, that you'll make us useful, that you'll give us opportunities this week. Bring this back to our minds throughout the week so that we can work on our relationships, especially our relationship with you. Dismiss us now with your grace, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.